part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm gonna do it part. I'm gonna do it part-time. I'm gonna do it part.
Fanboy.com. Yes, hello, this is Christian Horn. How are you?
Good.
Good, that's good to hear. Well, thank you for coming on to a Part-Time Fanboy again. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And thanks for taking the time for this interview.
Okay, nice talking to you, Chris. We must talk again sometime.
That's it, huh? You're done.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I wanted to talk to you about several things. I mean, just so listeners know, I mean, I'm on the line with Mike Barron, and you are a comic book writer, have been a writer for a long time, but most notably, you're known for co-creating Nexus, right, with Steve Rude?
Yes.
And yep. Badger. Or should I call him The Badger? Is it just Badger or The Badger? I guess it's kind of like...
It's The Badger, A Badger, Some Badger, Any Badger.
Any Badger. Just as long as people know the name Badger, correct?
Right.
Okay, so the first thing I kind of wanted to start off with is a question that I didn't get a chance to ask you last time. Because you came on to our podcast and you've been on our program before. And you very generously have come on again. So I have a fanboy question to ask you. It might be a stupid question to you, but I think it's an important question because you've written both characters. I need to know your opinion. Who wins in a fight, Batman or the Punisher?
Ooh.
You know, you've never thought about
very
that?
Very hard to take. Not often, no. However, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Punisher wins.
Really? And your reasoning?
I feel that Batman has been overexposed and shown in so many different lights that Punisher is keeping it real.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. So he's the real nitty-gritty adventurer.
Well, I wouldn't call him an adventurer. I wouldn't call Batman an adventurer either. But and this is just my fanboy response. Of course, we can never know.
Yes, of course. I was just always curious because you wrote the Punisher for so long. I mean, it was something like 5 years, right? I mean, in total. And you've written the Batman, so I figured I wanted an educated opinion.
A handful of Batman.
Yeah, but enough to maybe get your head into the character. So we know you've got a little bit of favoritism towards the Punisher. That's okay.
Yep.
And anyway, so I guess, you know, the reason that I was very interested in talking to you is because you sent me a digital copy of the new Badger that's coming out. It's a new series, and this is being published. It's First Comics and Devil's Due merged, correct?
Well, yes. It's more like First Comics and Devil's Due.
Yes.
Because Devil's Due is a small publisher. It's like the Ford Motor Company merging with the Chuck Barris garage.
Holy cow! Wait, so is Devil's Due the Chuck Barris in that, or is
yes.
for really? Because First hasn't been around for a long time, right?
Well, they have. They've just been keeping a real low profile. In fact, they've been publishing new material for about 3 years now. Uh-huh. They're about to go widescreen.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really good to hear. I mean, Badger started off with First or Capital Comics, correct?
Capital, then First.
But then First kind of went defunct for a while, right?
Yes.
Yeah. They've been up until you're saying 3 years ago, they were kind of like just not around. And then I read something that I guess one of the original people that worked with First tried to buy rights back from a larger company that had purchased them or something.
Well, I don't know anything about that, but Ken Levin is the publisher, and he has always been involved with First from the very beginning, and Ken is the guy that's resurrecting First today.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I mean, I mean, obviously, if you couldn't tell by the review I wrote for my site, I really loved this first issue of The Badger. I thought it was, like, absolutely fantastic. I mean, from top to bottom, in and out, and I'm really kind of interested in why you're sort of, because this seems sort of like, for lack of a better term, like Badger year one, you know what I'm saying? Like maybe starting over from the beginning. And I'm curious about why you want to sort of take that way to go with a new Badger story, and why you feel that's necessary.
There's a couple of reasons. One is I'm never satisfied with anything I write. I look at anything I write, and as soon as it's printed, I'll find a million ways to improve it.
Sure.
There's two is we're presenting Badger for a whole new generation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to introduce him from the get-go. I always think it's better to proceed in a linear fashion, and I wanted to present a new origin that would bring him up to date and give people a firm understanding of who he is.
Sure. And how long has it been since the last, like, published Badger comic?
Well, I would say 6 or 7 years. We did a miniseries with IDW.
Yeah. Gotcha. And so at this point now you're with First Comics, and sort of what spurred the bringing him back? Like, what spurred the, like, why Badger? Why not something else?
Well, it was a mutual decision between First Comics and me. Oh. For the Badger's the only caution crime fighter or superhero First has had consistently.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So, and can we talk a little bit about when you first created Badger? Because I think Nexus came first, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, and you had started that off. Did you start in indie comics? Like, did you start immediately in indie comics? I was looking over some of your biography, and it seems like Nexus, or at least according to, you know, the grand knowledge that is Wikipedia, it seems like Nexus was your first published work. Is that correct?
Well, actually, yes, it is. We had an underground comic that we put out in Boston before that. Larry Gonick and I, Larry is the author of the cartoon History of the Universe and many other fine books. Yeah, but that was just, you know, it was just such a limited edition thing. Nobody ever saw it. So Nexus was how I broke into comics.
Yeah. Yeah. And but how did you always have an interest in comics, or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I tried to draw for years and years.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, that's right. I remember from our last interview, you said that you were interested in drawing your own comics, but then you met Steve Rude and you were like, yeah, I can't do as well as this guy. I might as well give it up or something like that. Is that accurate?
True.
Yeah,
it's true. I'd given up before I met the dude.
Oh, really?
But then I met him. Yeah, and then I met him, and then things started to happen.
Now, were you trying to break into sort of like mainstream comics, or had you always just had a desire to pursue your own creations from the beginning?
Well, I wasn't trying to break into anything when I met Steve Rude. It was meeting Steve was the catalyst to our creating Nexus and getting it published. But I'd always been trying to write fiction. I mean, that's all I ever wanted to do with my life was to write fiction. I was working at an insurance company at the time and not making any headway.
Uh-huh. Making any headway in insurance or in headway in writing?
Both.
Gotcha. And where did you meet Steve Rude?
I was working at the insurance company, and the guy I knew phoned me. He was an editor at a local newspaper. He said, there's some guy down here. He's trying to sell us his drawings, and he draws just like you.
Oh, just...
So he gave me six... These guys didn't know anything. So I called Steve up, and I arranged to meet him, and I met him on the steps of the student union. I think it was like 1981 in Madison, and we decided to work together. And we were just in the right place at the right time. First, we did something about an insurance salesman that we sold to Pacific. And then I heard that Capital was interested in publishing their own comics, So we created Nexus with that in mind, the first 12 pages, which became the first 12 pages of the first comic book. And we showed it to Capitol, and they said, yeah, let's do it.
That's interesting, because it really seems like, I mean, obviously it's kind of a different market than it was today. It seems like you jumped right into indie books, where it seems like a lot of people would just go after something at the big two. I mean, what was sort of your thinking with that, like, as far as the marketplace was concerned? You just thought, like, I'll just create this comic with this guy and we'll see how it goes?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't kid myself that I was going to get work at the big two. And it wasn't until Nexus and Badger came out that I started getting work at the big two.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I mean, so once you start Nexus, and is that successful, like, right off the bat? Like, does it get interest right away, or was it sort of more of like a slow burn?
Well, it was successful in the sense that we got a very gratifying critical reception, and people loved it.
Yeah,
it wasn't making any money, or Capitol would have continued to publish it, but that's not necessarily the book's fault, because these guys didn't know how to publish comics, and they realized it after about a year.
Okay. Oh, wow. And so after that, then you went on to publish with First, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and how did that take place? I mean, were you guys disheartened at all with what happened at Capitol, or?
Not really, no. I knew that the properties were valuable, and when Capitol said they were going to give them up, a number of companies expressed interest. I pushed for First for a couple of reasons. One is it was located in Chicago, it was Midwest. I liked the hometown feel, the Midwest boys. And another reason was I was very impressed with what First was doing already. They had Grimjack and that Neil Adams title.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay. And so then they were interested in you, and you went along with them. And from there on, you guys kind of made history, right? Because Nexus, I mean, it became like a pretty big fan favorite. I mean, I only really discovered Nexus through later on the Dark Horse, like, reprints, I think, in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. But I wasn't exposed to a lot of indie stuff when I was much younger. So obviously this book, or this particular property, had a lot of life to it, or, you know, people who really enjoyed it, correct?
It still does.
Yeah, definitely, me being one of them. So how does the creation of the Badger come about? Like, what started
All
you
right.
thinking?
Yeah, what indeed. I was walking down State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, and I saw these posters, sports posters. A guy could draw. His name was Jeff Butler. So I contacted Jeff. I said, Jeff, let's do some comics. And he said, great. I really want to do something medieval.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote this 12-page story about an obnoxious weather wizard named Ham in 6th-century Wales, whose neighbors hate him so much that they put him in a coma and hire some Vikings to go drop him off the edge of the earth. So I asked Capitol, hey, let's get another book going. And they said, great, what do you got? And I said, well, I got this weather wizard. And they said, boo, no, give us a costume crime fighter. And my immediate response was, why would anybody put on a costume and fight crime? They'd have to be crazy.
Uh-huh.
I was reading The Minds of Billy Milligan at the time by Daniel Keyes. He wrote Flowers for Algernon, and it was a case study of a multiple personality, and it stuck with me.
Yeah.
And I'd always been interested in martial arts, too.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I wanted to do the Badger because I wanted to have a showcase to show martial arts accurately and in an exciting manner. So I went back so after this, I thought, well, why would anybody put on a costume to fight crime? They'd have to be crazy. And that was a bell ringer, and The Minds of Billy Milligan was a bell ringer. I'll make him a multiple personality. And I was walking down State Street in Madison, once again, it's Badger Liquors, Badger Posters, the Badger Pub, and then it hit me. He was the Badger.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. And so when you presented this idea to the publisher, like, your first script, how did they take it? Because part of what's interesting to me about the Badger is, obviously, your stories are well written, but he I mean, he's not like your regular average, you know, costume crime fighter. He's not necessarily, I mean, I don't want to sound disparaging, like kind of all there, you know what I'm saying? So how did they react when you delivered your first script or your first couple?
Well, they liked the art, and so it was a go.
That's it, pretty much.
Oh, and then I went back to Jeff and I said, they want a costume crime fighter. And he says, well, I'm not going to trash these 12 pages I drew.
Yeah.
So that's how Ham that Badger.
Gotcha. And how much research did you have to do at all into like multiple personality disorder? Was it pretty much like just that book that you had read, or did you try and look more into it?
I read a number of others, and I've talked to some psychologists, and I've even talked to a few multiples. But comics are what you make them. I, if the end product is entertaining and convincing, that's all that matters. I did do research, but I don't claim to be any great expert on it. I'm just trying to make the character true to his origins and provide an entertaining tale. And of course, the thing about the Badger is he can go in any direction. He can be very funny and zany, or he can be very serious and grim, and he has to be serious and grim at times because of the nature of his affliction.
Absolutely. Is there any truth to the rumor that Badger was sort of a reaction to Wolverine in Marvel Comics? Like that Wolverine
No, not at all?
No. Oh, okay,
no.
Great.
If anything, Badger was a reaction to Master of Kung Fu.
Oh, really? Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So were you studying martial arts at the time? I mean, I know you are now, right? I mean...
Yes, I was.
Yeah. So you were any particular discipline or...
Well, I started out in Taekwondo, and the school that I attend now is Taekwondo-based, but like any good martial arts school, they're incorporating everything.
Gotcha. Oh, that's great. And so what is going to be, or what do you think are going to be the differences with this new run of Badger versus what's come before? How much are you taking from the original run and going to put into this run? And do you see it as being faithful to what the comics that you've done before? Because this is like a brand new start, correct?
Yes, it is, but he will be the same character. The first series, you saw one issue, and there's four issues to come. The first series welcomes back Yawk and Yeti, and of course, Mavis Davis. There are other recurring characters that I'm bringing back. Dr. Buick Riviera. I think the Buffalo Lamont is in the first series. And if we get the green light to do a regular ongoing series, which I hope to do, they will be mostly standalone stories. Some may involve two or three issue arcs, but each story will go to a different artist. And the story will depend on the artist's strength.
Yeah. So are you going, have you got like all, you said, is it four issues or five issues that you've got lined
five
up?
Five issues.
And is Jim Fern working on all of those?
No, Jim just did the first story because there's an abrupt change in tone in the second story. Tony Akins does the second story, and Vale Myerick does the final three.
Oh, okay. And so you're going to have like a sort of shift of what, tone or like perception or something within the next issue, or...
Well, it gets a lot crazier, let me just say that.
Really? Because what I found interesting about this one, because before our last interview, I actually went out. I couldn't find any of my Badger, like, actual comics. So I had to go out and buy a trade of the original Badger. And what I found interesting about this one is that the story seemed a little bit sort of more... mainstream, like straightforward. Does that make any sense? So you're saying from it?
Well, I try to. It's a story without any hocus pocus, sorcery, or silliness. It's a story that could be real.
Okay. And is there any reasoning for that? Like making it sort of more real, quote unquote, realistic. I mean, do you have like interest in Badger from like media, like movie companies, anything like that, or is it just just you,
well, we do, but that's not related to this new issue, to this new series at all.
Sure.
The story is realistic because of the nature of the story, you know, it's whatever the story requires, and this is going to be a super realistic view of how the Badger became the Badger.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're definitely hoping that after the five issues, it will spin off into an ongoing, because the first Badger,
yes,
the original series had something like 70 issues, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, what sort of rounded off that series? Was it just the publication, the publisher kind of, like, folded up? Or was it just you were kind of tired of working
first?
On first? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, did...
Well, first, they went under.
Yeah, they went
under. For a variety of reasons, they weren't going to make it. And when that happened, they gave me carte blanche to do with the Badger what I like, even though they have a proprietary interest in it. So I did a series with Dark Horse.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there were a couple of years of inactivity, and then I did a series with Image.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was a long period of inactivity, and then I did the series with IDW.
Uh-huh.
That compilation you bought a Badger, was that the IDW compilation?
I can't remember. I don't have it in front of me right now.
I'm sure it is, because that's the only one there is.
Really? Yeah, there's a couple, it seems like. Badger Volume 1. I looked them up on Amazon earlier in the week.
Right.
And Volume 2.
That's IDW.
Oh, okay. Great. That's great. Yeah, and so, like, looking back on your writing, like, of Badger through the years, was there anything you kind of, like, looked back on as you're developing this new series and being like, oh, I got to get rid of that, or oh my gosh, like I've got to develop this, or you just, you know, that you want to reshape, or do you kind of want to go in a completely new direction and explore things that you've never kind of seen before?
Well, I don't think like that, although there are any number of stories I wish I had not let escape my house, you know.
Really?
And, yeah, but that hasn't happened in a long time. I mean, you know, when back then I said I'm not always proud of all the work I did, and I don't think it's all good. But that's changed. I went through some serious life changes, which involved my moving to Colorado.
Yeah,
and there was like a 10-year period when I wasn't doing any comics.
Uh-huh.
And a whole bunch of stuff happened, and when I came back to it, I feel that I'm a much better writer today.
Yeah.
I do have a number of stories planned out for this ongoing series if I get the opportunity, and some of them are specifically tailored to specific artists.
Sure.
Like Mark Nelson. I don't know if you're familiar with Mark's work, but he draws wonderful dinosaurs. So I've written a story for him about the cloning facilities. It's called Reptile Dysfunction.
Nice. And is that something that's in Badger or in...
Yeah, it'll be a Badger story.
It'll be,
yeah,
a Badger.
These are all Badger stories that I'm thinking about.
So the thing that I find really unique and interesting, or I've always found unique and interesting about your writing, is that it definitely is not, you know... There's definitely a unique quality to it, because like with the first time I picked up Nexus, I was like, wow, this is like nothing that I've ever seen before. The aliens, the universe, you know, when I read Badger, I was like, wait a minute, this guy's like yelling Larry at people. And, you know, he's kind of like not all there. How do you see your approach as different than what maybe mainstream comics are doing? Because it seems like you have a very distinct and unique voice. Do you see yourself as approaching your stories differently from the beginning, or how can you speak to that at all?
Well, I don't know. No, let me try. You know, as I say, my writing has changed over the years. I don't think about other material when I'm writing.
Uh-huh.
And I've developed a number of rules and principles over the years, and in fact I have an essay about it that I offered anybody who asked. You know, it's my essay on writing. It has to do with comic book writing, but it's real simple stuff. It's number one is show, don't tell.
Yeah.
Number two is be original.
Uh-huh.
Number three is stories arise out of character and personality. They don't arise out of plots.
Uh-huh.
Which is exactly 180 degrees from when you're a kid and you're thinking of doing your superhero story, and you think, oh, my superhero will be so cool. He'll have the ability to punch through rocks, and he'll fly, and he'll time travel. No, no, no. You got to start with the person, you know, and, yeah. and the person's personality, and then come the powers for whatever reason. And it's the person's personality and the character that drive the story.
Yeah. And where can people find this essay of yours? Is it, do you have it posted online somewhere, or...?
I think I have posted it on my webpage, which is www.bloodyredbaron.net.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so what were some of the comic what were some of your comic influences or just writing influences? Who are people that you recommend people should, or what do you recommend people should read if they're interested in writing comics or writing comics the way that you write comics?
Well,
you can curse if you want.
I, you know, as far as comic book writing, I learned an awful lot from Carl Barks. I think that anybody who studies Carl Barks, who created Uncle Scrooge and did a lot of Uncle Scrooge at Donald Duck comics for Disney, that's a guy who's an absolute master of his craft, and you can learn from him just about everything. Scene setting, how to advance character, how to advance plot, how to write dialogue. That guy had it. And then, of course, all my editors have helped me. Archie Goodwin was very helpful, and Carl Fox was very helpful. As far as the writers I admire in comics, I like the guys that you like, Alan Moore, Neil Gaiman. I think they're both excellent writers. As far as fiction, I've always been influenced by John D. McDonald, who wrote the Travis McGee novels. And that probably has a greater impact on my straight prose than on my comic book writing.
Gotcha. So has, like, space and science fiction kind of always been a genre that you're interested in? Because this conversation might take a huge left turn, but recently I just picked up a run of Atari Force, a huge run on eBay, because I'm a huge fan of Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. And and I didn't realize that you wrote something like the last 8 issues of that series.
Yep, that was my first professional job for the Big Two.
It's pretty solid. Like, I read the whole run, and I was like, and you were kind of left with like a really crazy cliffhanger. Because I don't want to spoil it for anybody that's never read Atari Force, you know. But I think the 12th issue, like the universe dies or something. So how did you, if you can remember back then, how did you feel being left with a cliffhanger like that? And how did you approach it going from there?
Well, I was thrilled to have the opportunity, and as I recall, the editor, Andy Helfer, had a lot of input on that, and he helped guide those stories, and that's why they turned out the way they did.
Oh, really? So you're not taking any credit for it?
Well, I wrote it, and I hope I did a good job, but I can't remember what I wrote. I'd have to reread those books just like you to find out.
Well, you did a good job. I think you did a really good job, especially because I read the 12th issue, and I was like, what the? It's like one of these things where, like, wait, this, it seemed like an ending at issue 12, and then, you know, you picked up the run, and you did some really interesting things with a lot of the characters, stuff that hadn't been explored in the first 12 issues. So I guess my question is, like, does that was Atari Force just a gig that you were offered, like, out of nowhere, or were you looking for a space book or that sort of thing to work on? Or
I was offered it out of nowhere.
Gotcha. Yeah, and Nexus came before that, correct?
Yes.
So they must have thought in some way that this would have been playing to your strengths, right?
Yes.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, no, that's really good, because I mean, I had completely forgotten that you had written that book, and that's amazing to me. Well, I think it's definitely something, you know, it's funny because I mentioned Atari Force to somebody else recently, and they were like, you know, that was a really good licensed book. And I'm like, yeah, it was. It was really well done. And, you know, the last, you know, 8 issues that you wrote were pretty solid, you know, unfortunately got canceled. But for the time, I thought, like, this is a very, they took something that was basically like a video console, right? That had no you know, reason for being a comic book, and took it in a lot of interesting different ways. So I you know, as ridiculous as it sounds, congratulations for doing such a great story on that. So you and Steve Rude actually have another project going on right now, right? A Kickstarter?
Yes. Yep.
And can you explain? Can you explain actually what that project is?
You bet. For years, I wanted to do Nexus versus Galactus.
Oh, really?
Now, obviously, we can't use Galactus because Galactus belongs to Marvel.
Sure.
But we can use the same concept. I wanted to put Nexus up against a force so massive that it threatens the universe itself, an existential force. So, And I was pitching it, and this dude says, "No, man, we can't do that. Belongs to Marvel." And I says, "Oh, yeah, we can do it." So finally, he says, "Listen, we're going to do Nexus again. What's the story you've always wanted to do?"
Yeah.
I said, "Well, I want to do Nexus versus Galactus." And he says, "Okay, let's do it."
And so,
but it's not Galactus; it's Gormando.
Gormando. that's good enough for me. But the way that you're going to be distributing the story is a little unique, correct? Can you explain how it works?
I can't explain it. No, it's the dude's baby. He can explain it.
Oh, because what it seems like you guys are doing, like, it's going to be like a weekly or monthly newspaper or something like that, and then
I believe it's going to be a weekly update.
Yeah,
and then once a month he's going to issue a newspaper printing of it, and eventually, of course, it'll all be collected in a book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great. And is all the work sort of pretty much done on that project, at least from your end, like been written up?
The scripting is done. Yeah, the scripting is done, and dude has penciled, I believe, 12 episodes, and I will give him one page, and he'll expand that to 3 or 4 pages. So it's going to be a huge book because I wrote 36 pages.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And I read also on the Kickstarter that the Moth was going to be a part of this. Are you working on any of that as well,
or is it just... I mean, Gary Martin is the writer of the Moth,
okay,
and I believe the inker.
Gotcha. 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 And so, do you draw at all anymore? Do you entertain that part of your brain anymore, or did you just put it
only
on the
when forced?
Only when
only when
you don't doodle anymore or anything like that, huh?
No.
It's pretty much writing, huh?
Yes.
That's great. Well, I mean, I'm just really excited about, you know, the new Badger series. I'm just really happy that you're doing it. I mean, as of right now, you've got 5 issues in the can. 4? I'm sorry, 4 or 5? I just blanked out.
They're 5.
5. Okay, great. And hopefully we're looking towards, you know, a sort of... you know, ongoing series. But the one thing that I wanted to ask you as well, were you working, like, your Punisher run and all that stuff, were you doing some of that at the same time you were doing Nexus?
Yes.
And so what is it about, because, you know, as far as Nexus is concerned, you know, basically we've got a hero that's sort of compelled to sort of hunt people down and deliver vengeance. And, you know, the Punisher is kind of a character whose family was destroyed in a horrible incident. And, you know, he is basically, I guess, you know, what comic book fans would be like, a vigilante, you know, full of, you know, revenge or whatever, kind of a revenge book. What is it that sort of draws those characters out of you? Or what is it that's in you that enjoys, like, writing characters like that?
Well, the professional in me welcomes any challenge. Nexus, of course, is my own baby.
Yes.
And there's a huge difference between the writing on that and the personality and the Punisher. But when Carl Potts approached me about doing the Punisher, I jumped at it, not because of any similarity with Nexus, but simply because I was intrigued with the character. And, of course, I've read the Executioner novels by Matt Bolan, on which it's based. And given the opportunity, I decided to approach Punisher as a straight crime comic. And so for the first 2 years, there were no superheroes, there were no cosmic threats, there was no Dr. Doom.
Yeah, yeah. And is the Punisher... So, yeah, I mean, obviously Nexus is much more of a cosmic book, and you've got the Punisher that's much more grounded. What are your thoughts about sort of the Punisher being in that kind of super? I mean, you said for the first 2 years there's no superheroes in his books. Do you feel like he works well in a universe with superheroes? Or
no,
not at all.
No.
And why is that?
Well, because he's a very realistic character, or he can be, the way you write him. He was the way I wrote him and the way Chuck Dixon wrote him, and Garth Ennis. It's just not a milieu which involves the cosmic. Once you start bringing the cosmic in, even if it's really well done, you're giving away a certain amount of suspension of disbelief. Whereas if you write The Punisher with no superheroes and no superpowers, you can write a very compelling story that could happen.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, well, I mean, when you were writing him, it was sort of in the middle of the 80s, correct? So you had a lot of sort of that, you know, urban decay that had hit New York and, you know, crime rates rising, that sort of thing. So he was a very popular character during your run, correct?
He's always popular.
Yeah. I mean, do you still get people, you know, saying to you, wow, I loved your Punisher stuff and all that?
Sure.
Yeah. And so, going to the opposite number, I mean, what sort of, are there any limitations that you've sort of imposed yourself on with the Badger? Because the Badger is sort of, he does exist in the real world, but there are aspects of his personality or aspects of the book that are definitely not, don't seem to be constrained by the same rules that you've set to the Punisher. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, the Badger has always had his problems, his differences with demons.
Yeah.
And visitors from another world. Let's be frank. He doesn't get along well with them. And starting with the second issue, they're back with a vengeance. And you'll see it. And it's pretty crazy stuff. I will say this, though, that the villain in the first Badger miniseries that we're presenting that's coming out this fall, the villain is Vladimir Putin.
Really?
And Putin is not what he seems. Yes, Putin is not the nice guy he presents himself to be.
Obviously not. So wait, you're saying that in the Badger book, you've got the leader of Russia, Vladimir Putin, as the villain?
Yes.
And so you're not afraid at all of being assassinated at this point? Him finding out
I have called Vlad out.
Yeah, well, you're doing more so than the world community is right now. That's amazing.
He ignores me.
He ignores you?
Yeah.
That's great. So, but still, Badger is sort of grounded in the real world, whereas Nexus is sort of like, you know, a much more... cosmic character, obviously. What do you find writing Nexus sort of like liberating? Because it seems like you can almost do whatever you wanted with him, right?
Well, yeah, to a certain extent, I do find it liberating. I find the Badger the most liberating because, as I said, Badger can be anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Go in any direction.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting because reading the two books or going back and looking at the two books, you're very good at keeping like things very distinct and different. Like it's almost like a different voice is writing in each book, and there's not a lot of comic book writers that can do that sort of thing.
Well, you're too kind.
Well, it's true. I mean, I think that you're very good at that because, quite honestly, if I handed somebody an issue of The Badger and handed somebody an issue of Nexus and didn't tell them, like, this guy wrote the same thing, you know, it's the same writer on two different books, I think that they would be like, no way, this guy's, like, got a uniquely, these each have a uniquely distinct voice.
Thank you. As I said, I try to let the character, the protagonist, determine the tone of the story, and I try to make the dialogue ring true. Even in the most ultra story involving demons and witches and Baba Yaga, the dialogue has to ring true.
Well, you do a really great job. I really love both books. I mean, thank you so much for your time, but before I let you go, I kind of wanted to ask your thoughts about What? How do you see? I mean, you've been in the comics business a long time. I mean, and you've been working in the trenches a long time. So, how do you see, you know, what's happened over the industry as long as you've been in it? Like, what do you think of the comics industry? Do you think like now is a really great time to be in comics, or do you think like it was better before, or what are some of your opinions on that?
Well, I think now's as good a time as any. I think it's wonderful that we have so many publishers and such a vast variety of titles, and I do think comics have gotten better since my youth, especially the quality of the writing and the quality of the art. You know, it's just like I always say this about movies, but comics are better than ever.
Yeah. Okay, well, and yeah. I can't disagree with you. I'm sorry, you were going to say something else?
Nope.
Okay, sorry. Well, you know, I really appreciate you getting us that first issue of Badger, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be here. You know, it's always my pleasure to talk to you, and, you know, all I can say is, you know, thank you for your work, and I hope that this new Badger is a really huge success for you.
Thank you, Christian.
Yeah, and just take care of yourself. And when does the first issue come out, like on the stands?
Oh, God. I'm going to go out on a bench, and say November. And why is it being pushed back so long? A bunch of reasons. But right now, the first three issues are complete. The fourth issue is completely penciled and it's probably inked too. And Val just has to finish the fifth issue, but they won't print the issues until they're all done. And that's one of the reasons it's taking so long.
Gotcha. So, and is it going to be a digital and a print release at the same time? Or is it just going...
I don't know about the digital. We're talking to Ken about that now.
Okay. Great. Well, you know, good luck with it. And let me know when, you know, that's set to come out on the newsstands, because I definitely like to pick it up.
Will do.
All right. And, you know, good luck with the Nexus Kickstarter. I would imagine that people just go to Kickstarter and search Nexus, right?
Yes, it's also on Steve Rude's homepage, steverude.com. It's on his Facebook page, and it's on my Facebook page, Michael A. Barron.
Okay. Yeah, well, this is definitely a unique way for, you know, you guys to release Nexus. I mean, do you have any other, beyond this Kickstarter, are there plans for, another miniseries through Dark Horse or anything like that, or...
Well, Dark Horse is preparing to release the series we did in Dark Horse Presents shortly.
Okay. Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Best of luck to you. And I just have really enjoyed your work throughout the years. And thank you so much for being on Part-Time Fanboy.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, take care. And best of luck to you.
Part-time fanboy.com.